HarperCollins presents Slaughterhouse Farm by T. Orr Munro. Read by Olivia Mace and Annette Holland.
Prologue. Miriam. At first, she couldn't work out why she was here. She hadn't been back since that night, years ago, when he'd taken her hand in his and led her through the darkened farmyard and up the hill until the soft grass underfoot became thick gnarls of heather, and she knew they were on the moor. There his torchlight fell upon a huge flat boulder, and he stopped to sit on it, patting the cold grey stone next to him. She wasn't sure what was happening, but she did as she was told, as always. He switched off his torch and told her to look up. Despite the strangeness of his request, she didn't say anything. Instead, she cast her gaze skywards. The sight made her gasp in wonder. So many stars stretching across the horizon. The sky seemed to sag under the effort of holding them all. Someone once told her, "Everyone has their own star, and if we live a good life, our souls will return to it when we die." She used to like the idea of being watched over by the souls of her kin, but that was before. He pointed out the patterns and the constellations, Auriga, Cancer, and the plough. Did she know the Arabians believed the bowl of the plough was a coffin, and its handle of stars the mourners, condemned to follow it forevermore? She said nothing, and realizing he'd careered from the romantic to the morbid, he stopped his chatter, and the silence engulfed them. The torch came back on. She heard a rustle and turned to see him fumbling in his jacket pocket, mining its corners in panic. Finally, his face relaxed and he held up his hand. In the pale, shaky light, dwarfed between a thick, calloused thumb and forefinger, was a tiny diamond ring. "Marry me, Miriam," he said. She knew this was coming because her father had told her. Now it was here, she felt only despair and guilt. For he was a good man, but she didn't love him, and she never would. Not because she didn't want to, but because she'd already given her love away. It didn't matter that it was a long time ago. She had used it up, and she was certain she had none left to give. If it had been up to her, she would have said no, but it wasn't. It was up to her father. He couldn't believe it when he asked him for her hand in marriage.
"I thought I'd have to beg some airy lump to take ye off my hands, and then this farmer turns up, asking to marry ye."
But her father's darkness was never far away.
"Now, you be a good girl and get wed quick, maid, before he finds out what you are."
So she did as she was told. She said yes. She had been good. And look where it had got her.
"Joe? Stay back. She's got a knife."
"Oh, my God."
"Why does she keep looking up at the sky, Mum?"
"I don't think she's well, love. Stay close to me, Natasha. Dean, we have to call the police."
"The police? Hold on. She's probably just a bit lost. Where do you live, love?"
"Hello, yes. The police and ambulance. We're on Exmoor, on the B1583, I think. We were just driving home after our holiday and we came across an old lady in the middle of the road. It's so foggy we nearly ran her over. I don't think she's hurt, but she seems a bit confused. She's wearing a nightdress and she's holding a kitchen knife. No, she hasn't threatened us. It's like she doesn't even know we're here. She's just standing there, staring up at the sky. Can you hurry?" "Right, thanks. Okay. The police are on their way."
"Let's get going then. We've got hours of driving ahead of us."
"We can't leave her, Dean. We're in the middle of nowhere."
"But there'll be ages and I've got work tomorrow."
"No, they might want to talk to us. We have to wait until they get here. Natasha, can you please stop filming her?"
"Wait, she's trying to speak."
"Where's Billy?"
"Who's Billy, Mum?"
"How should I know? Put that phone away. Can't you see she's upset? I think..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?